all the shopping hopefully is done. If not, and you're going to Walmart on the way home, I'll pray for you. Hopefully all the decorating's done, because if not, it's too late to get it up now. And hopefully all the cooking is either in process or finished. And many of us are scattering after the service. We are maybe going to be with extended family or friends, or maybe you're just having a just kind of a nice, calm family night together. I know that's what we're doing with our kids home from college. And whatever the case is, it's almost certain that tonight will be more calm than the last month has been. It's almost certain that it will be just a time to kind of be quiet and to reflect. Practical peace is kind of hard during the Christmas season, right? Annie and I were talking coming up that Christmas really starts now at Halloween. It snowed at Halloween, so that kind of made sense. And the season's so long now and so drawn out that it almost kind of in some ways doesn't feel special anymore. And we know that going in. We know it's going to be busy. We know there's going to be a lot going on. And some of us even thrive in it. I had to run about 12 errands late yesterday afternoon. And as I was moving along, I thought with great pride in myself, I'm doing this with surgical precision. I had my list. I knew where I needed to go. I had it ordered in terms of where I had to go down in Kenosha. I was going to hit my spots. I was going to park. I was going to get my item, and I was going to leave. And I think I did a remarkable job in it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because I knew that if I didn't, right, I'd be stressed, and I'd be frustrated, and then I'd be tense. And as it got dark, and I didn't plan on actually staying out as long as I did, it just kind of started to get me. And then, of course, you know me in traffic, and traffic was not great, and I got just a little bit frustrated. When we're in circumstances and we feel the pressures of life, and even maybe some family tension, if you're with somebody tonight you don't get along with, or you're going to somebody's house tomorrow, that it's not all perfect and everything, that can rob us of our joy and our peace, and it can kind of get us unsettled, but that's only temporary. That's just for the moment. That's, well, I have to go to so-and-so's house, or I have to see so-and-so, or I have to shop and do returns on Thursday and whatever. But that's a temporary robbing of peace. The real question really tonight is whether we have enduring peace, whether there's lasting peace in our hearts no matter what the circumstances are. And we've been talking, if you've been here, and if you haven't, that's fine, and we welcome you to come on Sunday if you don't have a church, but we've been talking about peace for the last couple weeks, but the Lord really gave me what I believe is kind of a fresh insight, at least for me, over the last couple days about the text that Christy read earlier and what we're going to read in just a moment. And I've never seen it before. I've never thought of it this way before, and that's always exciting with Scripture when you see something that you've just never seen or you've thought of it in a different way. So here's the question that I kind of came up with. Have you ever thought of what it was like for Joseph and Mary after the shepherds left? All our pictures kind of are with the shepherds there, right? When you see the images of Christmas and the shepherds are there, and maybe in some places the wise men are there and everybody's standing around and there's a cow who's kind of, you know, nice and calm, and there are sheep who aren't running around at all. They're just standing dead still. And Mary and Joseph are looking at the baby, and everything's kind of there. But think about what happened after they left. When everything went away and the reality started to set in that this was real, were they scared? Were they intimidated? Were they overwhelmed? Or were they confident? Not just in terms of their situation, but as we're going to look at in a moment, in a broader spiritual sense, in the sense of God working and them being in the plan of God and them understanding what was going on in their lives with this amazing calling that God had given to them. Now, few of us in the last year have experienced something that dramatic. Few of us in the next year will experiencing something that dramatic in our lives. But when we look at what Mary and Joseph did in the aftermath, after what happened, it causes us to ask ourselves, or at least I want it to tonight, do I have that kind of peace? I want us to really think about that. I'm not going to talk long tonight, and Christmas Eve is always a hard evening because everybody's kind of with their family and they're ready to go. But please just settle with that question for a minute. Do I really have that kind of peace? Now, we're going to read part of the text, and Chris, you read it earlier, but we're going to put it on the screen tonight. And I want you to look at it again because it's important that we understand the last part of the text, which we don't quote a lot. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Here's what I want to see, that transition between that sentence to the next one. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. What happens in verse 21? Because there's a transition between verse 20, when the shepherds leave and Mary's pondering things in her heart and things are kind of settling down, and verse 21, which we're not reading, which is 8 days later when Mary and Joseph go to the temple to dedicate Jesus. So I thought, as I was studying this, what was that week like? We don't know when the wise men showed up. Studies seem to suggest that it was later on, a considerable amount later, because the text in Matthew refers to Jesus as a child at that point, a young boy, not just a newborn infant. So the wise men probably came later. But what did Joseph and Mary think when things got quiet? They had been through so much up to this point. It had started with these visions that they had when they were still in Nazareth, and the Lord speaking to them and saying there's going to be a supernatural pregnancy, and that baby that's going to be birthed is going to be the Son of God in flesh. He's going to be the Savior of mankind. And they had to deal with all the questions about God's plan and the strain this put on their own relationship, and Joseph having to trust, is this really God's word? Is Mary really being true to me? Is her character as solid as I think it is? And then there's the obvious skepticism, of course, right? From family and friends and the whispers. Did you hear what happened with Mary? And they say it's from God. And even people openly suggesting that she should be stoned because she had apparently committed adultery and she had been unfaithful, and of course she should die. And then after enduring all of that and the run-up to this trip that we see in Luke chapter 2, then they have to go to Bethlehem unexpectedly because there's a census being called. So they have to travel 90 miles through hills and desert, and it's not an easy trip. It's grueling and rigorous, and she's pregnant, and Joseph's having to make sure that robbers don't attack them. And once they get there, there's nowhere to stay. We don't know if family didn't come through, whether the extended relatives just didn't have space because of the census, or maybe they didn't know that many people there. But either way, when they try to find a room, there's nowhere. So they have to go into this setting that is intimidating and unsettling, where the best option for residing for the night, where the best option for having a baby is where animals are being kept. Not exactly clean. Didn't smell good. It wasn't comfortable in any way. And then it's time. Then it's time for the baby. He needs to be born now, and all the plans to be in their hometown, all the plans to be in a nice, sterile setting with a midwife, those were all shot. Now they're around dirty hay and animal food and animal waste, and the best option for delivery is right there. The best place to put their beautiful, precious, clean, newborn baby is in a feeding trough. And I really want you to think about that tonight. In fact, maybe you want to close your eyes just for a minute. And I really want you to get a sense. I know you've heard this before, but think of it in a new way tonight. Really put yourself in their places. If you're a man, think about Joseph. What he's thinking. What he's feeling. Struggling with feeling like a failure for not providing a better place for Mary. The insecurity and fear of the personal and spiritual responsibility. Men, do you feel it? The pressure now of comforting Mary and alleviating her stress and her nervousness and her pain. And all that time, maybe you're thinking, Lord, why me? And if you're a woman, think of Mary, what she's thinking and feeling. Scared and uncertain about giving birth, trying to be strong, trying to put on a brave face for Joseph, who she knows is scared out of his wits. Not resentful in that moment, but wishing everything had been easier, fully aware of this huge calling that had been put on her life by God, and trying to keep it together as she's in labor, giving birth in this nasty place where the animals were, trying to trust the Lord and say, why me? Certainly, they both had the spiritual depth to understand what God's plan was and that it was good, but that didn't eliminate what they felt as humans. Mary and Joseph were not God. They were just humans like us, and they felt the full range of emotions. They felt the unbearable feelings of uncertainty and inadequacy that just were over them. Now, really, come on, do you feel it? Can you get inside that just for a moment? And then the contractions begin to get closer and closer, and labor reaches its peak, and Joseph almost certainly has to deliver this baby. They had counted on a different setting. They had believed that they would be in Nazareth, and it would be great, but Joseph's untrained, and Mary's in pain, and she's giving birth, and there's no drugs, there's no epidural, there's no nice nurses and doctors coming in and out. It's just the two of them, and Mary gives birth, exhausted from the trip, exhausted from the pregnancy, and right there, it's the moment. They're in a strange town, a strange place, with no convenience, and probably not even any relatives around, but that doesn't stop the baby. Because the baby has to be born. What was that moment like? What did they feel? What did they think about God's plan and God's calling? Because now it's real. This is not just a concept anymore. This is not just a vision. This is their life. And then things take another turn. Because as they're still dealing with the effects of the birth, and Mary's recovering, and the baby's starting to calm down, just as they're starting to get settled. Whew, boy, that was stressful. Now, all of a sudden, a group of curious, excited, loud shepherds break the quiet. The baby's just starting to settle in and nurse, and here come the shepherds, and they've seen a multitude of angels praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and now they've run all through town, and they've searched from house to house until they finally found it. Do you get the energy of it? And the shepherds come barging in with great joy and anticipation. There he is! All that Mary and Joseph has endured. Any sense of calmness, any sense of getting Jesus to sleep is interrupted. And the shepherds are talking all over each other and the cooing of the baby. Look, there he is. And they're talking and they're so excited and they're remembering what had just happened and they're leaning down in. Here's the one who's the Savior. And then after that kind of commotion for a while, then they go out in the streets and they start yelling to all the people that are asleep. Hey, the Savior's been born. The Savior's been born. You need to see it. There's a baby here. When they finally leave, and it gets settled again, and it's just Joseph and Mary and this very newborn baby, there are still parents in their teens who hadn't planned on any of this at this point, and the gravity and the eternal implication of this baby was not lost in them. So here's the question. When it finally actually got quiet again, and they were left with their deep thoughts and all that was going on in their lives, what did they feel? You may have experienced some moments in 2019 that have been transformative. You may have experienced some things that were painful and horrible or wonderful and life-changing. And now we're coming up toward another new year, 2020, and there are going to be moments in the next year that help define our convictions. There are going to be moments that stretch our faith. There are going to be moments that push us to a decisive response that will actually change the course of our future. And here's my question. In those moments, will you have peace? Now, ultimately, everything comes back to one question. Have you been forgiven? Have you been freed from sin by trusting in this baby, trusting in Jesus as your Savior, so that when you get to those moments, or even when it's just calm, you're strong and you're confident and you're content because you know Him and you know you're His child? That's the starting point for everything. That question will determine the foundation of your life. And without that secure personal relationship that's formed only by Christ's sacrifice and only by the victory He has over sin, everything in life will be uncertain. Everything in life will be precarious. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much we try to manipulate the circumstances and overcome it with people and possessions and our plans, everything will be in turmoil ultimately. Joseph and Mary are calm. I've been hit by this year. They're calm in the face of unimaginable responsibility. Even as they hold this baby, the one who saves us, because they had already so fully trusted God with their lives. They knew He loved them. They knew God was gracious to forgive their sins, and they were confident that they were His. So even though they're young, and even though their faith is deeply mature, when the assignment comes, and it's an overwhelming assignment and a calling they can't imagine, they not only accept it, but it's interesting, if you look at the text over the next couple days, they barely even ask God questions. That's because when you know the Lord, when you trust in God's plan, it gives you a peace you don't normally have. And that's important, because how many know that uncertainty never stops in life? If there's a year that's going to be volatile in the history of our country, it is next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And when we think, if the Lord delays in coming, if we think about December 24, 2020, what's going to happen in the next year? What's it going to hold? What will we be thinking? Where will we be? What will we know this time next year? And when I ask that, does that make you feel unsettled, or does it make you feel calm and confident because you know the Lord? See, I've been really struck by this concept that when the shepherds left and all was calm and it was just them and Him, that they were at peace. And that's the question I want to ask you as I conclude tonight. When it's quiet, do you have peace? I know tonight I'm looking forward to just kind of sitting down. Got a couple more presents to wrap, but we did a lot in advance. We've got the kids home, and we're just going to have dinner and just be together, maybe watch Charlie Brown. I mean, we're like Americana tonight, right? But when that's all kind of settled and everybody goes to bed, and it's just time to sit and stare at the tree for a moment, that's peace, right? That's like, I'm good. But the question really goes much deeper. And please hear this. This is about real daily faith. This is about whether you are willing to give up control, how quickly you seek the Lord, how calm and content you are when He removes what you rely on and brings it back to Him. One of the most pivotal moments of my life was when I was living in Dallas, Texas. I was at seminary and I was alone. And I was going through a lot of personal trials, and the Lord was really testing my whether my faith was genuine, because I'm a PK. I've been in church all my life. I got saved at 9. Like, I've done the whole thing. And when I got to the place where I was 23, 24, the Lord said, all right, is this really yours? Is this assumed because you're a PK and because you've been in church and you've been to church camps and rededicated your life 47 times around a fire on a retreat? Like, is this yours now? Oh, you went to Christian college and you went to seminary and you're right here now. You're studying the Bible, preparing for ministry. But Paul, is it yours? Is your faith yours? And I'll never forget, he showed me a very long heat lightning storm. Very late one night, about 3:30 in the morning, I was up. And after about an hour, and I'm not trying to be mystical tonight, you know me. After about an hour, the Spirit spoke to my heart in a very still, small voice, like Elijah in the cave. And he said, it's just you and me. Are you content with that? I wouldn't have heard that question in the normal, busy routine of life. He had to get me alone, and he had to get me quiet before I could hear him. And in that moment, I had to make a decision. Am I going to trust God completely with my whole life, or am I just going to give it lip service? And I knew in that moment there was only one option. I had to be completely dependent on him and love him because of what he did for me through Jesus. And I will tell you truth tonight. Since that night, I have had enduring peace. Since that night, now, you've been through some of it with me. You know it's not been an easy ride. There's been tremendous difficulty. There's been great sadness. There have been moments where my desire to trust was on the brink. I have not been exempt from spiritual opposition or trials or people that hated me or tried to destroy my ministry. If anything, it's been worse because of what happened that night. But I will tell you, I've never forgotten that voice. And I've never forgotten the peace that I felt as I watched that lightning and the confidence that he gave me because I trusted him with everything. Now here's the end. Where do you stand with the Lord tonight? Do you have that kind of peace? See, in a couple minutes, we're going to light these candles and we're going to sing Silent Night. And there's a lyric right at the start that says, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. And then at the end of the lyric, the songwriter is talking about baby Jesus when he says, sleep in heavenly peace. Now listen, as you and I sing that tonight, I want you to hear it differently. I want you to make it personal. When all is quiet and it's just you and the Lord, do you have heavenly peace? Or is your life full of confusion and turmoil and unsettledness and discontentment? Because if it is, it means you need to get closer to the Savior. Because you know what? When you're near the Savior, it says he gives perfect peace. When you're near the Savior, it says he gives peace that passes all understanding. When you are near the Savior, it says that peace will fill your heart and mind. So please hear this. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Are you his? Are you living for him? Do you love him? Because eventually the shepherds are going to leave, and it's just going to be you and the Lord. Are you content with that? If you don't know Jesus tonight, you've never trusted him, I want to tell you, I can't think of a better time to do it. I can't think of a better time than to say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And listen, I know we've got dinners to go to and places to be, but we'll stay and talk to you. Don't leave without being sure, without having that enduring, eternal peace of knowing Christ. And if you do know him, live for him. Be content to yield everything to him, and he'll bless you. Let's thank Jesus tonight for what he's done.